don't mind, keep it down, get your food. We want to live in what God has for us today. Amen. He has the floor.
All right. Man, good to have everybody. I think I'm going to drop something on y'all that'll help y'all. Please help me. So, how many guys are married or got booze? Whatever. Okay.
You said how many of y'all are married?
I'm just an old guy trying to be relevant. That's all.
Trying to stay with the times. Stay with that?
Okay. I'm going to kick this off like this. Do you know, when I do marriage counseling, I always ask this question before I marry anybody. What's the most important thing that drives a woman? No, that's a side effect of something else.
What was the question? Talk a little bit louder.
I can't hear you. What is the primary thing that a woman is looking for? The most important thing.
Security.
Okay. All right. So, after being married about 9 years, my wife comes home one day and says, I don't feel loved. Now, you don't feel loved. I'm like, you want me to be like Minister so and so?
Who? No, elevation.
Yeah.
We are recording.
Oh.
Okay, I just want you to.
Okay. Well, I'm transparent, so the Lord, right. You know, amen. Well, I'm the provider. You know where I am. I ain't tipping. I ain't doing nothing on the side. I'm either here, in the home, watching TV, at work, or playing ball. Because I love playing ball. You don't feel love? Look at that refrigerator. Provide. Don't make yourself a sandwich. Feel the love. And the reason I did that because security is a good thing. I'm not saying that's a good thing. Right? That's how I grew up. My dad was a provider. He was a sharecropper in Alabama and went to the military because he didn't know how to pick cotton real well. And when I grew up, man, that's why I wear Chuck Taylors right now. He didn't buy Chuck Taylors for me. I said, I ain't paying $9 for you. Not yet, you know what I mean? I ain't paying $9 for no basketball shoes and you ain't on the team yet. But we had food. So his thing was always being a provider. So I thought my wife was just crazy when she said, yeah. So security's good, but that's not the answer. And if you really want to know how women... Yeah, and it's in the scripture. In Ephesians. They want to be romantic. They're all about relationship. If you don't understand that, you're going to miss it. They'll change up on you. All right? A woman desires that relationship, that romance, because they're very relational. Then I'll ask the woman, what's the most important thing that drives a man? Do you even know yourself? It's in the Bible. That's it. How come we got that one right, but we missed the
winner? Because that's not what we want.
And if you don't believe that, let's a bunch of us go out and play ball. Just us. We just playing ball. We just ball to the park. We just ball. Everybody trying to get their game on. Everybody doing. Everybody friendly and stuff like that. Oh, my bad. My bad. You know, take it out. Blah, blah, blah. Let a couple women come by. Watch this play. What happens to the game?
Everybody.
Changes the whole atmosphere. Because we're all about work. We're all about performance. We're all about respect. All right. That goes all the way back to Genesis. I'm giving you a little foundational stuff as we get ready to go. So when they fail in the Garden of Eden, and the curse comes off, what's the curse on the women? Remember?
Pain.
And they'll have a desire for a relationship. So they put a curse on that, right? What was the curse on the man?
We're hard.
So that's why we got to be careful, because We'll think that work is the most important thing because that's how we're geared, and it's not. Alright? So, when you start looking at these relations, you got to make sure you understand what drives the woman, what drives the man. Alright? If you don't know what the most important thing is, you might miss it. So, I want to lay that out as a foundation. Next, I want to tell you about we're going to be in Matthew chapter 15. I've been doing these parables. These parables have just been deep for me, man. These parables have just been rocking up these things. The most important parable is the parable of the sower and the seed. You remember the parable of the sower and the seed? In fact, Christ says before you look at any other parable, that's the most important one, because if you don't understand that one, you won't get the other ones. Alright? So I just want to cover the parable of the sower and the seed real quick, and then we're going to jump quickly into Matthew 15. Alright, in the parable of the sower and the seed, there are four soils, remember? There's the soil, that rocky soil. There's the soil with the stones. There's the soil with the thickets, the weeds. And then there's the good soil. Alright? Which soil produces? The good soil. Alright? And the only thing I want you to know on that is, alright, the good soil is the soil that produces. And anybody that's been in the good soil? Alright. Those four soils are mindsets. Mm-hmm. I want you to understand that. Can you have the right mindset one day and find yourself in another soil? I'm doing everything. I'm following my steps. One, I need God. Remember how a plant grows. What's the first thing you got to do before the seed gets into the soil? Water. You got to break up the foul ground. You got to break up that hard ground. Application for the day. Until your heart is broke, you will never receive the seed that God has for you. After you bury the seed, what do you do next? Got to cover it up. You got to bury it. You got to bury the past. In fact, your past hurt and your past issues is the fertilizer that helps this thing grow. Then you're going to start to see some new growth. When you start to see that new growth, you're going to feel kind of good about it, aren't you? What are you going to do when you see something change and see some new growth come up? You're going to water it. I just gave you the four steps that I covered last night. The need, the burial, the resurrection, the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then you start watering that thing. And it produces. And once you start producing, you got to be careful. This is where a lot of Christians fail. I produced some fruit. I got all this harvest here. Alright? But then something happens and I move from the good ground to the other ground and I still think I'm planting in the good place. Mm-hmm. The four soils in the parable represent states of mind. And is it possible that you can be planted in the good ground, but then something happens in your life externally and it causes you to go back to another soil? Cares of the world? Hardness of heart, and you still think you're producing in the good ground, and your mind has changed and you're someplace else. Mm-hmm. You got it? Now I'm ready for the Bible study lesson.
I thought that was it.
Well, it's been like, well, let me give you one example of that, because I like to use a natural example. Man, I grew up fishing. Loved fishing. My dad and I used to go fishing. And then all of a sudden, that rascal bought a boat. Then we really started tearing folk up. Because then, you know, you could get to where the fish were. Mm-hmm. And man, there was this stump. This Lovecraft and bass fish. And boy, there was a stump in this lake. Our favorite spot. We can go there. We can drop it. We can drop a hook down there. And man, you're going to have about 20, 30, 40 crabs in an hour. But the current would move the boat. And we'd be in the spot, it's a great spot. Catch about one or two, And then all of a sudden, you're out of that spot because the current kept moving the boat. What do you think we had to do? I just kept rowing back to it. But there's a better way and a smarter way. Dad said, drop the anchor.
Amen.
And when we dropped the anchor, the boat couldn't go too far away from where it needed to be. When your anchor is to God, when anchor is the Holy Spirit, it won't allow you to drift too far from the good place where you want to be.
That's right. You're right. You're right.
But let me tell you something, brothers. You will drift.
Yes, you will.
You will drift. All right. Okay, let me see what I got on my notes. All right. Parable of... I got a name for it. It's the parable of the toilet is what I call it. Then came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees. The then means after he has already performed all these miracles and done these wonderful works or whatever. The Pharisees, now you remember what the Pharisees were. We talked about that last night. Church folk. Wait a minute, excuse me. Crazy church folk.
Yeah.
Now, there's a difference. We all church folk up in here. I'm talking about crazy. Self-righteous, crazy church folk. All right, the Pharisees. Which were at Jerusalem saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat. So, they bring Jesus a question. Remember I told you last night, when the enemy or your haters ask you questions, it's to bring you down. When God asks you questions, it's for revelation and to get you on the right track. So they ask a question saying, hey, y'all don't wash your hands when you eat. Now, is it a good thing to wash your hands before you eat? Yes. So what they were saying was not necessarily bad. But they're asking the question from the wrong origin. They're asking from the flesh and not from the spirit. All right? Verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, oh, question. Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? So he asked him a question. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die to death. That's commandment of God. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. So what they had done was, they said, hey, wait, Jesus, how come you and your disciples don't follow our tradition? How come you don't worship like we worship? How come you don't do it like we do it? And it wasn't that anything was necessarily wrong with the tradition, but they make the tradition law. You got to be careful. Even in church today, there are some things that are tradition that we say, oh, you ain't doing that, and you ain't saved. You ain't doing that, you ain't holy. Mm-hmm. It might be tradition. It might be an advisable thing to do. But let me tell you, I almost did not get saved because of church tradition.
All right, come on then.
Because I know I needed to have a suit in order to look good in church, and I have a suit. So don't let the tradition become the law of God that keeps people out of the kingdom. Self-righteousness. So Jesus does this. Now, I want you to notice there are four things that I want you to notice here. All right? And it piggybacks from last night. This is how to deal with haters, part two. One, they say, how come your disciples don't wash their hands when they eat? Does Jesus ever address their question? No. Step number one, don't worry about defending yourself. I know that sounds weird, but I'm telling you, don't worry about defending yourself. Because if you start defending yourself off of their question or statement, you will lose focus on what you really need to be talking about. Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to bring my wife up because about a year ago, it ain't been that long, about a year ago, I got so fed up with my marriage, I'm like, hey, you know what? I think I'm out of here. I'm the elder. I've been doing Christianity for a long time, been doing my prison ministry for 20 years, and wrote two books about religion. in faith and walk. And I'm just so doggone fed up that I'm like, you know what? Up to the book, because I ain't did nothing to deserve this. But I had anger. And the thing that set it off was I went to drop my bike off at the Harley shop. And I said, baby, I need a ride to, you know, after I drop the bike off, I need a ride to, you know, get me back home. I dropped the bike off. I met a guy that was there, another rider. I'm like, hey, man, you know, you ride? We started talking or whatever. His wife's a minister. They ride together. I'm like, man, this is the thing. Give me a number or whatever, you know. I dropped the bike off. Call the wife because she ain't there yet. Lack of faith. Impatience. Well, she shows up. I can see she was irritated that I called. Got in the car. I started talking to her about, hey, I just met this dude. His wife's the minister. They like to ride. Think we might be able to ride together. She says, did you tell them that I'm a minister too? I'm like, oh, baby, I didn't think about that. I'm always the afterthought. You never really think about me. That's a lie. So I decided to defend myself. Oh, no. I'm tired of this. I never do this, or you're not ours. And so I started to defend myself by pulling back the past receipts to let her know all the different examples of when I did think about you.
Yeah.
You all know I'm thinking about you every time that doggone Air Force retirement check hit your account that I don't know anything about. So I started thinking about how I'm going to remind. So I started defending myself. And all of a sudden, she said something that I ain't never heard her say before. She goes, hey, look, I'm tired of talking about this. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm Big Daddy. You don't tell me when it's time to start talking about something. I'm sitting here defending myself. And she said, my brother, we through talking about this. And if you want to keep talking about it, you can get out. Pause. Now, I ain't no punk. You don't tell the man, you don't tell any man. And she actually slowed down and pulled off to the side. Now, ordinarily, in my previous life, I would have went ahead and jumped out the car. And walked home, said, I don't need your car, I don't need your ride, but I've done that once before. So I know there's consequences and repercussions to that. I got my cycle boots on, I got my helmet in my hand, it's about 85 degrees, I got about a 6 mile walk. I'm like, nah, you better just humble yourself, stay in the ride, all right, and just ride this out. We got home, and my mind is working the whole way. Never again. I will never again give you the opportunity to leave me on the side of the road. And from then on, the relationship just started to go. So step number one, don't try to defend yourself. Because it will lead, because there was something else going on. There was something else going on, and when she made that statement, all right, and I went to defend myself, the focus was more on me and not on her, because she was dealing with something else that I didn't even know about, that had absolutely nothing to do with the kid. Step one, don't defend yourself. Don't worry about it. Don't defend yourself, because it'll throw you off. Step number two, look at the next thing he does. He gives them an example by asking the right question first. All right? Just like last night. Find the question. Find the right question to ask so that it's not back on you, it's back on them and what the real problem is. Baby, what is it that's really bothering you? Ask the question. Ask the right question. Three, give a specific example. That's what Christ does here. He gives a specific, let me tell you the example that he's doing. So they're saying, hey, by tradition, you should wash your hands. Jesus said, okay, I'm not even going to defend you, because truth, you know, the Nazis, the disciples probably didn't wash their hands. But he says, rather than you focusing on the tradition, you're violating the actual law of God, because the commandment said you should honor your father and your mother. And what they had been telling the people in the church was, hey, don't worry about taking care of mom and dad. Yep. As long as you're putting the money in the church, that's all that matters.
That's right.
And you okay. Which means you can treat mom and dad any way you want to, as long as you put in some money, and so you can buy your way out of this. And what Jesus is saying is, that tradition that you got transgresses the law. You tripping on me about some tradition? I'm telling you that you're now teaching people to not satisfy the law of God. And you're telling them that they're okay by this, but in actuality, they're transgressing the commandments of God. Mm-hmm. Give them a specific example. All right. It goes a little bit further. So then, verse 7, now you don't call them hypocrites right off the bat. then you have to get security to help you out. But he calls ye hypocrites. Well did Elijah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It's amazing that church people looking Jesus in the eyeballs still missing. But in vain, I don't want this to ever happen to my worship, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The last thing, the fourth point when dealing with your haters, give them a word. Give them a word. Back it up with the word. So now, the issue is no longer between them and Jesus. The issue now is between them and God. Give them the word. Alright, those are four steps. Gonna help you out. Let's keep reading. Verse 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. It's not that which goeth out into the mouth that defiles the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth. This defiles the man. Alright? And he goes to the multitude, because it must be pretty important. And he wants all the people to know this. If he wanted all of them to know it back then, he wants us all to know it here today. Alright, verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this thing? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Wait a minute now. You can be in the good soil and have your mind in the right place, and self-righteousness and pride will knock you in a different soil, and you will be uprooted. It's not me. It's the word. And brothers, I know we brothers. Check the pride at the door.
Yep.
Check the pride at the door. All right. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both fall in the ditch. Not only are they going to be responsible on the judgment day for their own souls, but they're going to be accountable for everybody else that they help lead to not believing in the living God. And there's leaders that do that today all the time. Verse 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also without understanding? I love Peter. I don't know whether he asked the question just because he's trying to show out, or whether he asked the question because he really didn't understand what's going on. But you know what? Even with that, Jesus still asked the question. Let me get this straight. You coming to me? You still don't understand? After all of this, you still don't get this? I'm glad he asked the question. So, brothers, if you got a question today, but all the anointing and the Holy Ghost is in this place, make sure you ask the question before you get up out of here. Verse 17, he asked the question again. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth through the belly and is cast out into the draught? Everybody know what the draught is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Now, this kind of messed me up. So, there is a... He's talking about food now. Mm-hmm. But it still messed me up. So... the physical design of the body, in the natural, the physical design of the body is, I can eat things, all right, and my system, my internal system, will process through and keep the good stuff and eliminate and separate the waste, and then it goes out the back end.
Right.
That's how it works in the natural. And I started thinking about this stuff. What if it ain't just food? What if it's not what's on the outside that defiles us? It's what's on the inside. What if it can be applied to more than just food? What if it's anything that happens on that? What if it's anything that comes and hits my dome? How am I made up spiritually? I got the physical process in the natural. It goes in, it gets processed. The good stuff I keep and the bad stuff?
Yep. Yep.
I think there's a spiritual makeup, my brothers. I think when things from outside and our external hits us, that it should go through that same process and it gets filtered. And somehow or another, the good stuff we keep, but the bad stuff. So how does that work? So, my wife, after about several months of doing nothing together, and I'm like, man, let me check my finances. Can I make this happen without her? I said, let me follow my steps. Because I'd be good one day, and then the next day, I'd think, she tried to let her rub out the side of the road.
Yeah.
And I found this parable. And I wonder how this works in the spiritual realm. One, old girl tried to let me off on the side of the road. Boom. I need you. God, I need you. Whenever your woman ain't trying to listen to what you got to say, it's time to go to him. And sometimes I'll ask the question and go, this is going crazy over here. Are you trying to get my attention? Am I not talking to you enough? Am I missing something? Are you trying to get my attention? And most of the time, he is. But in this particular instance, I felt the Spirit telling me, this time it ain't about you. You're going through for somebody else. So one, I have a need. Two, second step, I got to repent. Got to bury some stuff. What, brothers, do I need to repent of? What is it that I got to change my mind about now that I recognize I'm in need and I'm having an issue with my wife? What is it that I've got to change my mind about? I know what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I got a little fear. I don't think it's going to work. Got a little anger. Playing your funk. You don't know, I like that. You don't leave me on the side of the road. I got a little hurt. I didn't do anything to deserve this. What do I need to repent of? You're looking to me for an answer. I'll give you one. But the question is, if you've ever been in this situation, and it ain't even got to be a medical situation. Mm-hmm. It could be any situation that something on the external has hit you. Yeah. And all of a sudden you go, God, I need you. Mm-hmm. Are you trying to get my attention because of what I'm going through? Mm-hmm. You're trying to get my attention because somebody's going crazy on my job. Are you trying to get my attention because my kids ain't respecting me like I want them to respect me? Are you trying to get my attention because they looked at me funny and I don't like the way they looked at me? Are you trying to get my attention because I spoke to somebody they didn't speak back? Are you trying to get my attention? And because of those things that hit you externally, how do you feel? How do you feel when somebody cuts you off in traffic? Do you cry out to God, oh, I need you, Lord, because I'm getting ready to go off? Mm-hmm. What do you want to do when people hurt you? What do you want to do? You want to lash out. So what do you think you need to repent of? Mm. That. Yeah. The anger. The fear. The doubt. Mm-hmm. The thing that your flesh wants to do. Mm-hmm. Your pride. So you got to put that in the toilet. Mm-hmm. I need you. Every time I wake up in the morning, I need you. Because every time I wake up in the morning, I need to go.
Yeah.
I need to go to the throne. Mm-hmm. Every morning, I need to go to the throne, in the natural and in the spiritual. Mm-hmm. And I don't sit, I sit there until I got it all out. And if I miss, and if I miss a little bit, I'm going to come back and
come back in again.
That's right. My brother would, I'm a brother to do metamucil every now and then. So about two or three times a day, a brother got to go, brother got to go. And I go back to the throne, brothers, and I drop that load there. And I don't let it sit around. I'm sorry to be graphic, but this is real. And I don't let it sit there. I'm flexing as I go.
That's right.
And that stuff that was inside me never gets off.
Never, that's right.
And then after I do that, guess what I do? Clean up.
Yes.
Again, I've just given you the four steps by using the toilet. One, I got a need. Got to go, 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 got to go. Because if I don't go right now, there's going to be a mess.
Mm-hmm.
I need you. Two, I need to let some stuff go.
Yeah.
Three, I need to get up. Because you got to be down.
That's right.
Before you can get up.
Mm-hmm.
And I get up with hope. I get up feeling a little lighter.
Yeah.
I get up ready for my day. I'm ready for whatever needs to happen. And then I wash up because the Holy Spirit is like that water that flows on the inside. And I have the Holy Spirit. Now I'm ready to deal with my day.
Mm-hmm.
So every morning, I got up and I went to my spiritual toilet. I said, Lord, I need you. Girl still acting a little. Two, I repent. I ain't going to tell her what I really think. I ain't going to bowl up like I want to bowl up. I ain't going to cut off funding, though she makes more money than me now. I'm not going to move out. I'm not going to look for another place to stay. I'm staying right here. And I'm trusting in you. And I'm giving you my problem.
Yeah.
And then I went ahead in the power of the Holy Spirit and just kept being nice. Because you can't be nice in those kind of situations in your flesh.
No, you can't. Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what the baptism of the Holy Spirit means to me. It gives me the power to make God proud. Tongues are okay. But the real power for me is to do those things in the flesh that I was never able to do before. That's the power to me of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It gives me the power to not quit. It gives me the power to do those things that glorify God and make God proud. And even though I was going through in my marriage, every day after I got through praying, I'm sitting up here going, I'm going to make you proud. Mm-hmm. And it's not my job to fix my marriage. That's your job. Because I'm standing here in faith, standing on the promises. You said you make me the head and not the tail. You said you fight my battles. I'm just going to be as holy and righteous as I can. There you go. I started washing dishes.
That's right. Start washing dishes.
Start washing dishes, bro.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We got this little squeezy thing, a little sponge squeezy thing or whatever. Got a little dishwasher liquid in there, a little sponge squeezy thing. Mm-hmm. And she put the rule in the house. She said, here's the rule in the house. When you get through with your dish, a little squeezy thing, wash the dish, put it in the rack, that way they don't accumulate. I come home from work, I'm working, she retired. I come home from work, dish is in the sink. I ain't no punk. No, well, what happened to the rule? I went ahead and started washing dishes.
Yeah, that's right.
I went through my steps. Yeah. I went through my steps. Yeah. My hope is in the Lord. I'm standing on the promise. I washed every dish that was there. All of a sudden, I guess he thought that must have just been a routine or whatever. That's just what I'm supposed to do. It's just, dishes just started accumulating or whatever. I'm like, this my job now? Is that what's going on with this? And I'd be fussing at myself. Because I'd be like, you know, I'm like, and the Lord hit me. After I got through going through those four steps or whatever, the Lord hit me. You better enjoy this. You can't cook. You don't know how to cook. She cooks. That's the least you can do. Mm-hmm. Y'all never heard my cooking story, right?
No.
Well, before we go, I'll tell you my cooking story, but you gotta stay here. You don't have to turn the camera off.
Okay.
I can't let that get out. So after about eight months of this, right? Finally, one day, after all that prayer and all of this, I was happy to start making the bed. We got this rule about making the bed. The last person out the bed is the one that got to make it. So whenever I hear her kind of rustling over there, I'm like, sure, my feet hit the ground. I'm in the bathroom. One day I jumped out the bed and whatever and did it and whatever, and the bed was still not made yet or whatever. I said, you know, I'm going to do something nice for old girl. I'm going to make the bed for her, whatever. And she started talking about something or whatever. I said, hey, now be careful. Now I made the bed. And she looked at me like, boy, you don't know where the soap is. You don't know where the toothpaste is. You can't cook. I washed your drawers. And you're going to bowl up talking about, you made the bed? And that's when I found out the definition of reasonable service. She said, that's your reasonable service. That's the least you could do. So, brothers, I'm washing dishes. I'm making beds. Mm-hmm. And then one day after about 8 months or so, I couldn't have the time to run, but it was a long time. She comes to the kitchen table and she says, you know, baby, we just living up in this house like roommates. You ain't telling me nothing I ain't already know. We need to start over. From right here. Let's just start over from right here. And forget about the past. Even 5 minutes ago. And we're going to step forward into our future together. Mm. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And ever since that day, man, it's been good. It's been so good that back in the day, when we first got married, we were doing prison ministry together.
Mm-hmm.
We were packing the joint out. Packing the joint out. Because I was giving my perspective from the male perspective.
Mm-hmm.
She was giving it from a female perspective. And we have 50, 60 folks, inmates, come in, hear us preach. We were dynamic together. Mm-hmm. And then something happened. I didn't feel like I was getting emotional support or whatever, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you can't come with me in the prison anymore. And for over a decade, we've never done ministry together.
Wow.
You don't know what it means to me to be here this weekend and for us to be doing ministry together for the first time in about 10-15 years. I envy you guys who have your wives and spouses here ministering together. God is a God of restoration.
Yes, He is. Yes, He is.
But you got to go through the process.
Yes, it's a good process.
And after I saw how God had opened up the veil and He took His time, but He had to whittle some things out of me or whatever, and I just felt so good. And she said, man, this is it, whatever. And I just, man, this is just so wonderful. I'm like, this is great. And then something reminded me, but you still ain't dealt with that dropping you off on the side of the road thing. We can start over all you want to, right? But we're going to have to deal with that. Because if that happened again, there's going to be some fireworks. There's going to be some consequences or repercussions. And she goes, no, we're just going to start here and go forward. I'm like, but, and the Spirit hit me and said, remember Zechariah in the temple praying for a son?
Mm-hmm.
Praying for a son because his wife was barren?
Mm-hmm.
And he's in there praying for a son and he's doing the thing in the temple? Amen. And he was outside the Holy of Holies. I love the name of the church. He was in the holy place, but the angel comes from the Holy of Holies,
yes,
from where God dwells on the inside of us, and says, God has heard your prayer. A child is coming. What you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
How's that going to happen? You wrestle. I come from the Lord with your answer to your prayer that you've been praying about, and you looking at me like I'm crazy? And the Spirit hit me and said, wait a minute, you've been praying about 8 months for a breakthrough, and your breakthrough comes, and you still stuck on some dumb stuff because of your pride?
Mm-hmm. All right, come on now.
And I answered God.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes. That thing needs to be dealt with. And I went back to the toilet.
Yeah.
Lord, I need you.
I need you. Mm-hmm.
Two. Are you actually saying I need to let this thing go?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I flushed it. Mm. Now, just like the parable of the soils, where you can, your mind can change over it, I've forgiven, I've moved on.
Yeah.
Every now and then, won't that thought come up again? Flush it again. All right, so let me give you this. He goes through some of the things here in verse 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. See, let me tell you something, brothers. We can be saved, we can be born again, we can be full of the Holy Spirit. There's still something inside of us that the enemy is aware of. And he it's called familiar spirits.
Yep, familiar spirits.
And what the enemy will try to do is he'll allow things on the outside of you, external to you, all right, to touch you or look for those areas on the inside to try to attach to you, all right? And if he sticks to it long enough, then you're going to go crazy and you're going to respond in such a way that's going to defile you. And then your excuse, oh, hear me on this one, and your excuse is going to be, well, it wouldn't have happened if they hadn't done that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I wouldn't have went off. I told you last night, my brother, I got pictures up tonight, I'll show you. One of my relatives dropped a tree on the house. And I said, why are you dropping shit on the house? I got to show you the pictures of him. I mean, just told these folks in the living room, up. Ain't nobody got no insurance. He ain't buying it, nothing. I know. He didn't move his truck. So I had enough room. The tree was rotted on that side, so it just kind of collapsed and fell over like that. The popo had me stressed out, and because of all that stress, I couldn't concentrate on what I was doing. They're the reason why. No, bruh. You gotta take accountability for that. Mm-hmm. You blaming everybody else to justify your sin. Mm-hmm. You gotta be careful of that. You can't let the external cause the residue that's inside of you to get attached, and then all of a sudden the enemy has a pathway through that familiar spirit, through that relationship, through the kids, through the house, through the job, something familiar to you that the enemy looks and says, he's getting too close to the kingdom. He's doing damage to the kingdom. Look at this place. The enemy is scared of you and this church in this place. Don't, come on, anybody play football?
Yes, amen.
Amen. Anybody like to watch football?
Amen.
Man, when your favorite team moves from their 20 to the other team's 20, that's called the red zone. Mm-hmm. Are you happy when your team gets to the red zone? Amen. Yeah. But what do you expect them to do in the red zone? You better put some points on the board. You better put some points on the board. Because if you get down to the red zone and turn the ball over, I ain't happy about that. And does the defense play the same defense when you get in the red zone? He steps it up. Come on now. When you get closer to where God wants you to be, don't you know the enemy going to wreck that thing up just a little bit?
Yes, Lord.
But we still got to score. Man, several years ago, my wife showed this to me. Man, she asked a question. Mm-hmm. That's before I knew about all this question stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. We were beefing about something. This is about a 10-year point. Because when you get to 10-year point, everybody go crazy about the 9, 10-year point or whatever. Yeah, that's about the time when they take half your money. But anyway, and yeah, going through or whatever. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to do something nice for a girl. I went through my stuff. So humble yourself. Boom. Humble yourself. Got it. I need to repent. Man, I just want to fuss all night. I just want to keep fussing. Just keep fussing. You know, I'm mad at her or whatever. Boom. I repent. I put that down. Walking in the wind, Dixie or whatever, and I start some flowers, some roses. Like, you know, a new mind. I'm going to buy old girl some roses. I bought some roses. I had to put some baby breath on that. So I didn't even know what baby breath was. I just put some stuff in there. That thing looked nice. I'm feeling good about myself. I'm like, yeah. And I went back to the car. She was waiting in the car. And I'm like, here you go, baby. And I threw across the dashboard over to her or whatever. Don't look at me like that. I ain't no better. And she threw it back at me and said, what's this? And I'm like, you don't know what I just went through. You don't know how I defeated the enemy and went victory and bought two flowers that you didn't deserve. And I come and put all this stuff together and then wrap it up all night. And I don't work. I don't defeat the enemy. And then I come up in here and you gonna throw these flowers back at me? I mean, I'm mad. I'm fired up because I ain't no punk. And I'm just walking around the car just talking and fussing, And all of a sudden she said something. And in turn, she asked me a question in terms that I understood. Football terms. And she don't even like football. I know this is the Holy Spirit. She goes, well, if you went that far and came that far, why you fumble at the goal line? Hey, there you go. Appreciation. Love you. The question convicted me. Let me see if there's anything else that I need to talk to you about. Oh. So it goes over these things, evil thoughts, murder stuff. I don't want to go through all that stuff or whatever, but you ever get evil thoughts in your mind?
Mm-hmm. Yes, all the time.
Man, let me tell you something. I was in the store, and this guy cut in front of me in line. He didn't know. I don't think he knew. Because there was a gap in the line, and I was talking, he was, somebody was talking or whatever, and he kind of came in. I don't think he knew where the line started. And he jumped in front of me. And man, that dude jumped in front of me. And I mean, I grabbed him by the collar. I said, man, you don't see me standing over here? You must be out of your mind. You gonna disrespect me? And he's a white guy, too. You gonna disrespect me like that? Bam! Start slapping him around. Oh, start beating him around. Oh, start kicking him around. I threw him over a couple of tables and stuff. Man! I said, don't you ever cut in front of anybody, regardless of race, man. Don't you ever cut in front of nobody. And you definitely better not cut in front of me. And he went on the line, got his order, and went on out. I never laid hands on him. It was all in my mind.
All his mind. But that's the mind. Yeah. You're right. You be playing that.
Man, it be like other people in the line were looking at me like I was crazy. Because I was. Every time I was throwing punches, I was all into it. You know. And by the time I got out, he looking at me like I'm crazy. By the time I got out of the store, I almost had to go back and apologize to the dude because I realized I have evil thoughts.
Yeah.
Do you ever have a thought in your mind where you just want to do something to somebody? It's on the inside. Don't let it dwell. Put it in the toilet and flush that thing out. Somebody used to take my doggone ice cream money when I was in junior high school. Upper class, he used to take my ice cream money. So I finally stood up to him, and it stopped, squashed it. Almost a year, but I stood up to him and squashed it. You know what I said to myself? I will never let anybody else ever take my ice cream money and disrespect me like that again. You know how long I carried that? What happened to them? My kids know about ice cream money time. My wife knows about ice cream money time. My co-workers know about ice cream money time. And I flashed that knife last night, and y'all know something about ice cream money time. That's my go-to move, brothers. If I even get the slightest sense that somebody's disrespecting us, oh, no, you can't have my ice cream money. I ain't no punk. Even that. That's to go in the toilet. Christianity is not a punk religion. But you can't let anything from the outside keep you from what God has for you. Evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemy. Well, let me wrap up with this. You know I used to drink daydream about robbing a bank?
Pretty sure we all did when we broke.
I used to work at a bank.
No.
I mean, I'm serious. I used to work at a bank. I used to be a bank teller at the bank. I sit up there. I go to the bank. Like, yeah, I knocked this one off easy. I used to work at the bank. I'm like, don't take the trap money. Make sure they don't pull the money that activates the cameras. Stuff like that. I said, baby, you don't mind. You don't lie, banks. What are you daydreaming about? You're daydreaming about saving souls. You're trying to knock a bank off. I'm on my job, and they didn't pay me like they were supposed to pay me. I didn't get the salary that I was supposed to get. But I still got a job. I praise God for the job. So my office was in the supply office. So the supply cabinet was right there. And I'm playing video games with my kids, and I think it's AA batteries or whatever, and the controllers or whatever. And I got to go all the way to the store and get some AA batteries. I opened up the supply cabinet, and guess what they had in the supply cabinet? AA batteries. Preacher grabbing AA batteries. And then one of the supply clerks came in there and said, man, I guess I'm going to have to buy some new batteries. I'm like, why is that? Man, around Christmas time, everybody be just raiding the supply guy. Like, in my mind, I was like, glad I got mine first. And I justified it by saying, hey, this is just payback. This is reparations. You know, y'all, this is the least I can do is just grab some batteries or whatever, the way y'all are treating me. What I got to do, brother?
Flush.
And before I can flush it, I got to find out I got a need.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to repent. I had to flush it. I had to remember who I am and who I work for, the authority.
Mm-hmm.
And when I remembered who I was and who I worked for, I realized preachers and Christians don't steal batteries from work.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave them all back. Let somebody else steal. But they ain't going to be on
you. They ain't going to be on you.
All right. Just like there's a process for flushing things out, just like there's a process for righteousness, there's a process for sin. I want to go over that. I'll tell you the cooking story, and then we're out of here. Thank you for your patience. I hope this helps. There's time for questions or whatever. So, John, 1 John, turn to 1 John 2, 15, 17. I want to show there's a process for righteousness, and there's a process for sin. 1 John, chapter 2. I want to show you what the sin process is, so you can identify it. 1 John 2, verse 15-17. If somebody get there, they will read it for us.
Love not the world.
Love not the world.
Neither the things are in the world.
All right.
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
There you go.
For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh.
The lust of the flesh.
The lust of the eye.
The lust of the eye.
And the pride of life.
And the pride of life.
Is not of the Father.
It's not of the Father.
But is of the world.
Of the world.
And the world passes away. And the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
So, the enemy is going to attack you in one of three areas. Lust of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
The lust of the eye. And the pride of life. Do you see those three things in operation going through that process in the Garden of Eden? Mm-hmm. Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
Eve was in the garden. Mm-hmm. Serpent asked her a question.
Aha! That's that question.
And she saw that the fruit was good. Saw that it was good to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And was one to make you wise like God. Pride of life.
Mm-hmm.
Do we see the same three things with Jesus going through the wilderness? Hey, Jesus, if you're really the Son of God, you ain't got to go through what you're going through. You can pack up and leave. Oh, No, Son of God, if you really, you don't have to go through what you're going through. Why don't you turn these stones into biscuits? Lust of the flesh. Hey, Jesus, why don't you get yourself to the top of the temple? You know, the devil will let you go to church, too.
Oh, yeah.
And still out in front of the temple or whatever. Pride of life. And then he takes them and shows them all the kingdoms of the world. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh. Pride of life. The same things that were tempted all the way from the beginning are the same things that tempt us now. Brothers, I close with this. It's not what's on the outside.
Yeah.
Don't let what happens to you on the outside cause you to sin on the inside. God works from the inside. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Anybody got any